Good? All right. So we are continuing our discussion on what it means to be a healthy church. Okay, so before we get into the Word of God, as always, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you today. And even as I speak and as I share, I just ask that you would use me as your vessel to teach your truth. Just pray right now that you would help me to decrease so that you may increase. And I just pray that we would just honestly be attentive to your word and help us to not only listen well, but also to be good doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So last week, what I talked about with you guys was being a loving family, and that everything that we do as a church, it should be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. That too many times we kind of get caught up in, you know, doing certain things a certain way. But when we come back to the Word of God and what God desires for us as a church, that should become the priority, and that should become the foundation of how we live as Christians and how we live as a healthy church. And so we talked about being a loving family, and I wanted to kind of continue with this truth of what it looks like to grow to be a loving family. We read this scripture in John 17, and there are some powerful truths that we can learn from Jesus's prayer. Okay, and what we're trying to understand is how can we genuinely love one another and be united as the church? But when we look at Jesus's prayer in John 17, and when he's praying to his Father right before he is about to endure the suffering on the cross and go through that entire journey of suffering, there is a specific prayer that Jesus prayed that he wanted to pray for his church and for his people. When we understand this prayer, the prayer is the only long, continuous prayer of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. Each sentence is simple, but the ideas and values are deep, moving, and meaningful, as genuine prayer often reveals a person's innermost being. John 17 provides us with a unique and special opportunity to see Jesus's heart, desire, and vision for the church. So it's very easy for us to read through John 17 as a passage of scripture. But if we actually understand what Jesus is praying, or take the time to understand, it's a very simple prayer, but there's deep truths behind it, meaningful truths. And we actually get a glimpse into Jesus's heart and vision for the church. In chapter 17, verse 20 to 21, this is what Jesus prays. He says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, the disciples that were with him, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." See, the cool part about it is Jesus is obviously praying for his 11 disciples. Why? Because he knows that there is going to be a season in their life that is about to come. They're not going to fully understand why Jesus is dying on the cross. They're not going to fully understand why he is ascending into heaven. But Jesus knows he is leaving them with a mission. He's leaving them with a purpose. And he's praying that they would have the heart and the courage and the boldness to continue the ministry that he started with them. But Jesus also had the heart and the vision and the ability to see beyond the early church and the 11 disciples. Jesus is also praying for us. He's praying for each and every single person that is here and each and every single person that would ever become a part of God's family. And he's praying that we would be one, just as he and the Father are one. And that we would be so united in our love for one another that the world will believe that the Father God sent Jesus into the world to save. Now, this idea of us being one, it brings up this whole conversation about the Trinity, right? And the word Trinity, it's not actually mentioned in the Bible. But when we understand the Trinity, this is what it is. It's a central Christian doctrine stating that God is one being in three co-equal and co-eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who share one divine essence or nature. Now, I'm not going to try to explain this in its entirety because the Bible actually says that the Trinity is a mystery. If we actually try to understand it rationally or logically, every scientist has failed. Everyone who thinks they are smart enough to describe the Trinity has failed. Because the truth is, it is a mystery in the scriptures. But we understand that this truth of one being and three persons, although the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible, this truth of the Trinity, this example of the Trinity, is all throughout the Bible, where we understand that there is the Father God, there is the Son, Jesus Christ, and there is the Holy Spirit. So Trinity is all throughout the scripture. But what Jesus is praying, if we think about the Trinity, that Jesus is one with the Father, and the Father and the Son is one with the Holy Spirit. This is essentially what Jesus believed his church could become. Just as he is one with the Father, he wants us as brothers and sisters in Christ to be one with another, to be united, and to be a loving family. To love each other in the same way that love and unity existed in the Trinity. Jesus believed that the church could be united in their love for one another, just as he and the Father were united as one. Now, do we believe that is something that we can pursue? That is something that can take place in our church, in our own personal journey with God. Here's another thing that Jesus prayed. In John 17, 22 to 23, he says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Now, did you catch that part in the scripture? Because I don't want you to just miss that point. What is Jesus saying? May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. How will the world know that Jesus is alive? Yes, partly it's through us sharing the gospel, the truth that there is one God, the Father, the truth that he sent his Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, the truth that he is returning again one day. I know Andrew always prays for the people that go out from the church and they hold up the signs out in the streets. And that's not an easy job. It takes a lot of boldness and courage to go out in this current society and to declare the name of Jesus and to share the gospel. Even the other day, I was at the Chinese supermarket and there was a group of Chinese believers there just singing worship songs outside of the supermarket. And they had a box there where they were, you know, taking requests for prayer, taking prayer requests. And I just thought to myself, and I wanted to encourage them that, hey, that's not easy to be out there in the street corners, singing worship songs, talking about Jesus, asking for prayer requests. I'm sure they get a lot of upset people or people who will come by and have their comments and give their opinions. But the fact that they were out there was pretty encouraging to see their boldness, to see their courage and their willingness to love Jesus to the point of even putting themselves outside of their comfort zone to tell others about him. So that kind of stuff is important, to share the gospel, to hold up the signs, to sing worship songs out in the streets and in the communities. But Jesus says something very interesting here. He says that if there is a genuine love that exists in the body of Christ, in his church, that will also witness the gospel to people. That will tell people that Jesus is alive. And I said this last week, that too often we get people that come into the church and they visit the church and they see that, you know, we're not that passionate about our relationship with God. Or that when somebody offends us or, you know, we have an issue with somebody in the church, we hold on to that forgiveness, we hold on to that bitterness. People see how we love one another. And people are also evaluating how we love one another. And many times they think, well, we just love one another the same way that people in the world love one another. So what's the point? How is that God going to make a difference in my life? And this is why Jesus is saying, he's praying that we would have such perfect unity, that if we genuinely love one another, if we genuinely forgive and care for one another, that people will see that type of love. And they're going to be amazed by that type of love. Because it's not going to be a type of love that they experience normally in the world. And they're going to believe that, hey, there must be a God. There must be a real Jesus if this person can forgive like that. And if this person can love in this way. And this person can care for their fellow brother and sister in this way. The world will know God through how we as a church are united and show love to one another. This means that our unity and how we fight for our unity and how we pursue unity as a church is very important because it affects our witness of the gospel. Recently, it's been really cool to kind of be a part of that small group after service. Because before it was just like the youth participating. But now it's like the youth, the young people, and the adults. And you know, I think a lot of times in church, we kind of have these segregations where the adults do their thing, the young people do their thing. But nowhere in scripture is that found. God actually never desired that youth would just do their thing, older people would just do their thing. In fact, in the Bible, you had the older people mentoring the younger people. And you had the younger people respecting the leadership and the wisdom that the older people would give, the example that they would set. But in the church gatherings in the New Testament, both groups came together and were able to love one another and journey together. And even last week, it was cool to see in the group, there was the adults and the young people, and each were encouraging each other with whatever was going on in their life, whether it be school or whatever it may be, and also praying for one another. That is the church that God desires. And whether that's happening in our families or in the church, this is how God desires for us to be loving one another, is that we are able to support each other no matter how old we are or whatever the age is. This is how we show that we are united. So one thing that God really wanted to define is love in the church. You see, this is what Jesus focused on when he prayed, that there would be an authentic love that existed in the church, a real love. And we talked about this, that real love is sacrificial. Real love is denying self. Real love is obedience to God's commands. This is what it means to love one another. Jesus could have prayed for anything in that moment. He could have prayed for anything, but there was one particular thing that he wanted to pray for, and he had the vision and the heart to pray for it, and it was the love that would exist in his church, the unity, the love, and that this love he knew would be a great witness to unbelievers, to non-Christians, to people in the world. And that love is not meant to just be displayed in here. We're meant to go out as the church and display that love in the world as well, in our communities, in our schools, wherever we go. If Jesus believed for this type of love in the church, then we also need to believe for it and strive for it. Too often in the church, there's so many tensions, there's so many disagreements, there's so much disunity, there's so much division. And I'm not saying particularly in this church, but just think about it. If I were to do a whole sermon on how many denominations exist in the Christian church, it's wild how many different denominations exist in Christianity. Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, United, all of these different denominations exist, over 100. And each one of those denominations will put their foot down in terms of what they believe for and what they believe in and what is unwaverable to them. And Baptists will disagree with the Pentecostals, and the Pentecostals will disagree with the Presbyterians. The Anglicans will disagree with the Presbyterians and all the other different denominations. There's so much division just within the Christian church. And sadly, this is not what God's heart was for his church. He said, if anyone believes in his name, there is one baptism, there is one spirit, and we are meant to be united. But all of these different denominations and beliefs and policies and procedures and practices, it's divided us as the church. And there is no real love that exists in many churches, in many denominations. Because I can have a conversation with somebody who belongs to a Baptist church and say, absolutely, I see in the Bible it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It talks about the gifts of tongues. It talks about the gifts of interpretation. And Baptists will have a cessationist point of view. Well, hey, that was the early church. That doesn't exist now. Now, is that meant to divide us? No. You know what? I can humbly and gently and graciously accept their point of view and gently go through the Bible, and we can have a respectful conversation. And hopefully they can graciously and humbly accept my point of view. But too often, pride gets in the way. And people say, well, if you believe in that, then you're not really a Christian. Or they get offended. They say, well, how can you believe in that when it clearly says this in the Bible? And I don't know if you guys realize this, but as Christians, we're very divided, sadly. We are willing to fight for certain things that God is saying, don't fight for that. There's only one thing that we should be fighting for, and that's for the preaching of the gospel, the truth. We don't need to be eternally fighting with each other. If we have a difference of opinion on certain things like water baptism and communion or the gifts of the Spirit, all of these things can respectfully have a conversation. It's not meant to divide us. But what the scripture points us to is that if there are people in the church who start to come in and teach a different message about Jesus Christ. The one that is opposite of what is taught in the Bible, then that's something that we firmly stand up for. But we need to be accepting of each other's differences. We need to be accepting that as older people, and I can call myself that now, I'm 41, that I need to be accepting. I don't understand the entire new language of the young people and every word that they say and every word that means this and that, the next thing. I'm like, can you guys just use proper English? I don't fully understand it, but I'm willing to embrace it and learn about it and, you know, come to an even playing ground, right? And for the young people, they may look at us and say, well, I don't fully understand everything in your world. And at the end of the day, we need to be accepting of each other's differences that we may not fully understand because we live in different decades or worlds or realities. But as the church, we're called to love one another. And this is what Jesus wanted. Jesus didn't want all these different denominations and battles and disagreements and divisions existing in the church. Sadly, it has happened that way. But he wants us to be united. And he says that if we got back to just being loving and united, then the world, unbelievers, will look at Christianity and see the love and the unity and say, wow, there's a God that exists. Because people are willing to put aside their personal opinions and just follow after God and what he desires. And this is what Jesus desires for us. So for us, specifically as the MCLCC English Ministry, what are we aspiring to be as a church? You know, this is something that we all have to take time to think about. And I'm going to be sharing with us more vision and direction in terms of what we are going to be pursuing as a church. Because honestly, for me as a leader, my only hope is that I can be faithful with the opportunities I have as a leader in the church to teach the truth soundly and also to pursue being a church that I know one day I can stand before God and say, honestly, this church, that any church that I'm connected to, that God, we genuinely wanted to follow your commands and pursue becoming the church that you desire. Not what we think the pastor desires or what any of us desires, but actually taking time to look into the Bible and seeing what God wants from his church and what he wants from us as Christians and pursuing that, being faithful with it. That's all I believe God is going to be concerned about. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And have we been faithful as a church, doing the things that he has called us to do and loving one another in the way that he desires us to love one another? So what are we aspiring to be as a church? There's many things that we can aspire to be as a church. We can aspire to say, well, we want to have the best service on Sunday, that everything from start to finish is going to be well, from the scripture reading to the worship to the sermon to the snacks to the fellowship. It's a good thing, but it's not the most important thing that God desires from us as a church. We can aspire to have good Sunday school. We can aspire to have a good Christmas play or have a good choir. All of these things are okay, but it's not the most important thing that God has commanded for his church. We can aspire to do certain things well. We can even aspire to have the best mission programs and say that we're going to go to 3-4 countries in the year and share the gospel. That's amazing. But it's not actually the most important thing that God desires from us as a church. What he desires for us to aspire to be is, number one, lovers of God. That's the first and most important thing, to know God, to love God, to have a relationship with God. And then the Bible says that everything else flows from there. Our desire to do missions, our desire to serve in the church, our desire to help others, it all starts with that relationship with God. Everything we do as a Christian has to flow first from an intimate and personal relationship. And I've already shared this with you guys, that if that doesn't exist, well, your life is going to be pretty fruitless and not fruitful for God. And I will be standing with you when you stand before God, but He will judge each of us for what we've done in this life. And at the end of the day, the first thing He will want to know is if we knew Him, if we loved Him, if we had a relationship with Him. And the second thing I believe that the Bible calls us to is to be lovers of one another. Love God, love one another. If we can get those two things right, everything else, how we do missions, how we do Sunday school, how we go through our Bible reading plan, those things will be a success according to the Bible. And we will become a healthy church if we are lovers of God and we are lovers of one another. And this genuine love exists in the church. So let me ask you guys, when was the last time that you actually prayed and asked God to increase you in your love? Because you guys know exactly where you're at. And you know that if there is a lack of motivation or there's a wrong motivation for even why you're here today, I challenge you, I encourage you, pray and ask God, God, give me that desire. Give me that genuine love that the Bible talks about. Because I want to be a lover of God. I want to love my fellow brother and sister. I want my motivation to be out of love, not for any other reason. Because that's what will glorify Him and that's what will please Him. So when is the last time that we ask God to increase us in our love for one another? This is what we should be aspiring to be as a church. And this is what we are going to pursue as a church, is that we want to be a community that shares openly and regularly about our lives, struggles, sins, and joys. This is healthy to God. That if we are able to share with one another about what we're actually going through in life, the struggles, the sins, the joys, whatever it may be, according to God, that's a healthy church. Does that mean you have to come up here and announce it to the whole church? Not necessarily. But what God is saying is that don't go on the Christian journey alone. Don't journey by yourself. There should be somebody in your life who kind of knows you inside and out, knows what the sins are that you're struggling with. What are the good things that are currently going on in your life? What are you asking God to help you with? What are the areas of your life you're hoping to grow in? What are some things that you just don't fully understand about God or you're struggling with? Yes, I am available to have those conversations with you, but it also should be happening with one another. And this is how God says we love one another and we support one another. That accepts each other's differences, shares our possessions. We talked about that looking at the early church. Speaks the truth in love, corrects in love, forgives, encourages, cares for, and supports one another. Now I know that list is long, but it's all in the Bible. We talked about the 59 one another's in the New Testament and how God commands us to be living out these one another's. Well, we can accept each other's differences, share our possessions. We know a brother or sister is in need. We can share what we have. We speak the truth in love. That's what I try to do on Sundays and in the personal conversations. Something you need to know about me, if I see that your life is kind of like opposite of what you say, I'm going to call that out. I'm going to say, well, you say one thing and you're showing up on Sunday, but you're living a completely different way. And trust me, I know it's in love. Because at the end of the day, I only have one enemy, Satan and his kingdom, who I know, and we're going to learn about it when we start talking about spiritual warfare. He comes to deceive, he comes to lie to us, and he tries to get us off of our journey with God. So if I see that you're deviating in any way, lovingly, I will encourage you to stop wondering and stop drifting away from God and get serious about your relationship with God if, in fact, you believe with all your heart that you are a Christian and that you have been born again and you've been water baptized and you've experienced God in a real way. Then start to live like it and act like it. We need to receive that from one another, where we correct one another in love, knowing that, hey, if we see somebody kind of drifting away from God, the loving thing to do is to go, yes, have a hard conversation, but a loving conversation with them. And say, I kind of see you kind of being a little bit compromising or inconsistent. Is everything okay in your life? Is there anything I can pray for? Is there anything that I can help with? If we start to see that people's relationship with God is starting to drift, we forgive. When we get offended or annoyed or bothered by something somebody does or says, we fight for the unity. We fight for the love. We choose to forgive and let go and move on. And we care for and we support one another. Personally, in every one of my church experiences, I believe that we can achieve this unity and love that Jesus prayed for. See, the hard part about it is Jesus believed that it could be accomplished. And that's why he prayed for it. That he believed that his church could be so loving and united. That it would be a powerful witness to the world. And that very powerful things could happen within the church if we chose to love the way that he desired. And if Jesus believed it could happen, I also want to believe that it can happen. And we need to, all of us need to believe that it can happen. That we can become this as a church. But it will require, yes, prayer and sacrifice, but also the empowering of the Holy Spirit to help us to love in this way that Jesus wanted us to. But again, I believe that our group of believers can become an unstoppable, powerful force in the kingdom of God if we choose to love one another in the way God desires for us to. I'm going to close with a few scriptures, and this is the Bible. And I pray that these truths would resonate within your heart and that you would choose to obey what these scriptures say and even accept them as truth in terms of how we are called to live. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God. Follow our Father's example. As beloved children, children who have been justified and accepted and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what does it say? And walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, let's all read it together now. Okay, and allow this scripture to actually be soaked into our hearts and resonated in our minds. Okay, together. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen. Ephesians 4:2-3, it says, always be humble and gentle. Does it say just on Sundays? Just on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays? This is hard. This is why we need God's help. It says, always. How many of you struggle with always being humble? Yeah, me too. Always being gentle. Me too. Right? But this is what we are to be pursuing and striving for. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So God's commands. What do? We're humble, we're gentle, we're patient with each other. We make allowance for each other's faults. If someone wrongs us, hey, we kind of brush it off. They made a mistake. I forgive them. They're a brother in Christ. I fight for that unity. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. You know what I've witnessed many times being a pastor for 20 years? Somebody gets offended and then they want to leave and go to another church. That's not going to solve the problem. If we get offended and then we say, well, I don't want to be a part of that church no more. I'm going to go down the road and find a different church. And they're going to treat me with love. No, actually, your bitterness and your unforgiveness will most likely follow you to that next church. Somebody else will offend you. You will get upset at that church and then want to leave that church as well. And this is why the Bible says, make every effort. We're not meant to get offended and then just leave and try to find the next best thing. The scripture actually tells us, go to your brother, go to your sister, tell them that you were hurt, tell them that you were bothered by what they said or what they did. Make every effort to work it out, to maintain the peace and the love and the unity in the church. This is what we are to fight for, is that peace. And last scripture, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God loved the world. This scripture is saying, if God loved us, how are we to respond to that type of love? Well, we love one another. Okay, and this depth of love, we just understood it goes beyond that surface level. Hey, sister, how was your week? Okay, have a good week. See you next Sunday. That's not love. Okay, the love that the Bible is talking about is really getting to know somebody and willing to sacrifice your time to really come alongside of them and pray for them and support them. Or if that same somebody bothers you or offends you, you work on forgiving them. This is the type of love. And this type of love is harder than that surface level type of love. And this is what Jesus wants in his church. He says, no one has ever seen God. None of our human eyes has ever seen God in his presence and existence. We talked about this. If we were, we would die immediately if we saw God with these human eyes. But he says, if we love one another, his love is in us. Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. That power, that love exists inside of us, and his love is perfected in us. That God is desiring to perfect his love in us. And every day there are challenges and there are tests of how we will love one another. There are tests for you, how you love your sibling, how you love your parents, how you love your friends at school. There are tests for us older people, how we love our fellow neighbor, the people in our workplace, our own children, our spouses, the people in the church, people in the world. But God desires to perfect this love in us so that it is the same type of love that Christ had for his church. And this is what Jesus prayed for, that we would have this type of love that exists in the church. So I leave us with this practical application once again, that if you have the ability to, throughout your week, check in on somebody in the church, if you have the ability to be a part of the Bible reading plan and the Sunday school, these are all ways that we can practice our love for one another. And if we desire to grow to be the church that God desires, then we will glorify him and we will honor him. But it starts with what we've been talking about the last few weeks about being a healthy church, is that Christ is the center of everything that we do. And when we gather on Sundays, we approach him with a level of reverence that will honor him. We don't neglect this meeting and this gathering. And we need to grow as a loving family. That if we grow as a family, we move out of this system of church that we're used to, of coming on Sundays and just going through the motions of a service and then going back to our life. But we actually grow to become a loving family. This is what God desired for us, to pursue this, to fight for it. Next week, Pastor Lamb will share. But the next time that I share, I'm going to share about how, as being a healthy church, we're called to be, this church is called to be a training facility. That any one of us that comes in here, they are to be equipped and discipled, to be trained up to go out into the world and fulfill the mission of Christ. We need to be a training facility. That's what it means to be a healthy church as well. Okay, and so I hope that we take these things to heart. But what I want to close with is just asking Holy Spirit to help us. Because yes, it will be one thing if we desire it. There will be some bumps in the road. But then we also have to pursue it. And we need Holy Spirit's help to do it. And however that looks like on Sunday, during youth fellowship, during the university college fellowships, whatever it is, if we can start to grow as a family, then our witness to the world and our love for one another is going to help us to be healthy and to grow spiritually. Okay, so let's pray and let's ask Holy Spirit for his help. Holy Spirit, we recognize that you desire for us to grow in our love for one another and to be the church that you desire. This might sound so foreign to some of us because we've grown up in Sunday school. We've grown up in a system of church where we thought that all we're supposed to do is just come on Sunday, find an area to serve, and that's it. Read our Bible maybe sometimes throughout the week. But we understand through your word that the depth of what you are calling us to as the church is so much more. It's so much more deeper. And I believe, God, that for every church that exists, you desire for that church to be a lover of God and a lover of one another. And as our love grows, our commitment to the mission and our ability to do the mission well will be strong if our love exists. Jesus, you prayed for this in the church. And I just ask that you would increase our love for you and increase our love for one another. And I pray that every form of deception and anything that may be blinding us from this truth, that Holy Spirit, you would just remove it and that you would reveal to us how you want us to live as your followers. And I pray that we would be willing to step out of our comfort zone and to do different things where our love can increase. Our love for you and our love for one another can increase. So I ask that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to grow, to be that church that Jesus you prayed for and that you desired. In your strong and mighty name we pray. Amen.